From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott with some stories for your Thanksgiving pregame.
My name is Dame Wilburn. I am from Macon, Georgia, but I live in Detroit, Michigan. I am a storyteller, an artist. I am a host with The Moth that does storytelling throughout the country, but is based in New York City.
I met Dame Wilburn back in the early fall when she and five other spoken word artists were performing in the area as part of Air Serenbe's Hearsay. I was blown away. So when I heard she'd be back at the Serenbe community in Chattahoochee Hills, Georgia, I grabbed a few minutes with a superb storyteller in the great Southern tradition.
When you're a big kid, you know that Thanksgiving is a way better holiday than Christmas. And the reason you know Thanksgiving is a better holiday is because it's the only day of the year where nobody's talking to you about portion control. No one's looking at your plate. No one's counting how many times you're going back to the oven because everybody's eating too much food and you look normal. Now, my family had a huge Thanksgiving dinner every year because we lived in a two-family flat. So my Aunt Julia and my Uncle Otis lived on the first floor, and my mother, father, and me lived on the second floor. And my Aunt Julia would invite every person who was in our family who lived in Detroit. She would invite all of them to come to her house for dinner. Now, my mother didn't really trust my Aunt Julia's cooking. It was good, but she always wanted her own food. So every year, my mother would still make Thanksgiving dinner. So between the two of them, I would have probably four or five Thanksgiving dinners, which made Thanksgiving my favorite holiday. Now, this one year, I was doing laundry in the basement, and I kept smelling something that smelled a little off, and I didn't know what it was. It didn't smell like what Julia normally made. And I went into the kitchen in her part of the basement. She had a basement kitchen, and I would go in there all the time because I'd steal peach flavored high C drink out of the refrigerator and I'd eat all of her strawberries, but that's not what this is about. So I see this pot on the stove, and it's just boiling away. And it seems like something's knocking against the lid. And that weird smell that I keep picking up is coming from this pot. And I just can't help myself. I've got to figure out what this is. So I take the lid off the pot, and a squirrel, a boiling, cooking squirrel, bobs up out of the pot and shuts my heart down. I can't scream because I don't want her to know that I've been sneaking high C. So I put the lid down and just run back upstairs. I'm in a panic. Thanksgiving is coming, and I'm looking at 2 to 3 Thanksgiving meals instead of my regular 5. And I'm seriously concerned. So I get upstairs and I decide not to tell anybody because I don't know how to explain to anybody that there's a squirrel cooking in the basement. My mother comes home and announces that for the first time in years, she's not making Thanksgiving dinner. And my jaw falls open. I start begging her. You know, we got to have Thanksgiving dinner. You got to make Thanksgiving dinner. You make the best dressing. You make the best turkey. And she looks at me. And my mother had this ability to stare you down and tell you no and never open her mouth. And I knew I couldn't push the subject. So now I'm down to no Thanksgiving dinner. Because I don't know if I trust my Aunt Julia to serve that squirrel whole so that we can see him in the pan when she puts it on the table. And I'm downstairs with my parents and all of my family in my Aunt Julia's house, looking at the table covered in food, recognizing that I'm not going to be able to eat any of it because I can't quite figure out what any of it is. So we're standing there, and my Uncle Wash looks at the table and says, "Hey, sis, I see you cook some squirrel. Remember when Mama used to cook squirrel for us?" And then everybody from that generation starts talking about how poor they used to be, how hard it was to come up with a meal, how eating squirrel and raccoon and any other varmint was really about feeding people, and about how their mother cared about them so much that she figured out how to get them some food, and how she put onions in a squirrel and make it taste better. And they're just going on and on. And it dawns on me that my Aunt Julia isn't just making something weird. She's actually making something from her heart. She's reminding everybody about how food is love and what it means to cook for a room full of people. Now, Julia never announced anything. Some people, when they sit down at Thanksgiving dinner, when the turkey comes out, everybody applauds. It's the last thing to hit the table. It's a big fanfare. She never did that. But this particular year, she went in the kitchen and brought out this huge casserole dish with a lid on it. And she said, you know, a couple months ago, I had Italian food for the first time, and it was so good, I just had to make it myself. And she put the pan down and took the lid off and said to everyone in the room, so I made y'all some lasagna. Now, I put my hand up because I had the correct pronunciation of that word in my head, and I wanted to share it. And I caught my mother's eye, and she stared me down, and her stare said, everyone in this room knows you're smarter than they are, but no one cares. So I put my hand down. And my Aunt Julia, just beaming, put a big old spoon in her lasagna and waited for everybody to get some. As people started to go to the table, they picked up that squirrel, they picked up the oxtails, they picked up the pig's feet, they picked up everything that she had on that table, but that lasagna. And when I finally looked in the pot, I figured out a little bit why. She got the noodles right, and she got the ground beef right. She got the sauce right. She couldn't find ricotta cheese, so she used cottage cheese. And she said, that white cheese didn't really have no taste to it, so I used some extra sharp cheddar, and now it tastes like something. So yeah, it wasn't 100%, but I took a spoon and dug in it, because at least I knew what it was, and put it on my plate. And it dawned on me then that there was really no difference between her lasagna, and that's what you call it, because that's what it was, and squirrel. What she was doing was sharing with us the food that she loved. Her attempt to make it and getting it right or wrong had nothing to do with anything. Now, I've traveled around the world and I've eaten at some very expensive restaurants and I've had some really decent meals. But to this day, I haven't had anything half as good as my Aunt Julia's lasagna. And I think about it every Thanksgiving.
Author, spoken word performer, and Moth main stage host, Dame Wilburn. For decades, Kay Powell was obituaries editor for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. There she wrote memorable legacies for Moonshiners, the planet Pluto, and Flannery O'Connor's Peacock, among many, many others. She is an ace at communicating mood and character, and still writes obituaries for hire, and is definitely the person I would want to write mine. She stopped by to tell a Thanksgiving story, and no squirrels met their end in this one.
My family has owned a 1928 Craftsman bungalow in Valdosta for 74 years and celebrated Thanksgiving and Christmas in it almost every single one of those years. When my parents, Frankie and Juanita Powell, were alive, it was the home of Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners for four generations. We'd host holiday dinners, we'd have 20 or more people. It was mostly family, but there was always an extra place at the table for somebody we knew that didn't have anywhere else to go for Thanksgiving dinner. At our house, Thanksgiving dinner was traditional turkey and dressing, giblet gravy, cranberry sauce from a can, though in later years we did have various cranberry salads added. Mama would buy a 20-pound or greater turkey. We'd sit it out on the back porch, and it was much colder in South Georgia back then, so that frozen turkey would sit out there for a day or so until it thawed. Thanksgiving morning, Mama was up at 4 or 5 o'clock to put that turkey in the oven. She'd start cooking. She did it all. I wasn't really much of a good cook. I can cook, but I'm not that great a cook. So I'd go out in the yard. We weren't much for gardening either. I'd go out in the yard and cut what little flowers might be blooming and cut some greenery and make a little arrangement for the Thanksgiving dinner table, which that arrangement usually got moved off to make room for all the food that we had. People came early and stayed late. Not only did they stay to eat, they stayed to visit. And this is one thing I love about what our Thanksgivings were at the house, because in one room there'd be people watching television. In another room there'd be people playing cards or putting together a jigsaw puzzle. In another room there'd be people taking a nap, and all over the house and all over the yard there were children running wild, creating their own fun, doing whatever they wanted to do. And that's one reason I don't understand today all this obsession with open concept houses. Where are people going to go to gossip if they don't have a private area they can go to gossip in? None of us ever had to cook a holiday meal until Mama moved into assisted living at the age of 92. Towards the end, Mama's dementia set in while she was still at home. But I mean to tell you, when it came to Thanksgiving dinner, she still was up at 4 o'clock and in that kitchen and cooking everything. Just that muscle memory and sense memory went to work with her, and she was still cooking the holiday meal. So Mary Frank would pull a stool up to the kitchen table with her notepad and pencil, writing down every single thing Mama did, so when the day came that we had to cook holiday meals, we'd know how to do it. Now, in the middle of all this, I was a reporter at the Valdosta Daily Times. I was born and reared in Valdosta, went to college there, married a college professor, and worked at the paper. Well, at the paper, I worked 5.5 days a week, including holidays except Christmas. So I didn't get to eat the traditional Thanksgiving dinner with my 20 family and friends. So my husband and I started a Thanksgiving dinner for students and faculty that didn't have anywhere to go or eat or anybody to be with on Thanksgiving. We never knew how many people we'd have for Thanksgiving, because the students might be headed to the house, see someone walking on campus or down the street, and invite them to join us. And the men did all the cooking. They started out days earlier. They planned out all the meal. They went shopping for all the groceries. They might have 2 or 3 grocery carts just loaded up with food. We women and the female students were the ones who did the cleaning up. And I always said the men knew when Thanksgiving dinner was ready, because there was not a single pot or pan left clean in that house. Everything in our house that had a flat surface and 4 legs was strung together to make a huge Thanksgiving dinner table. After dinner, it wasn't over. Everybody stayed. Everybody was having a good time. They stayed and decorated the Christmas tree. Jeff Lynn, who is a Jewish friend who ate with us, one of the students, said they decorated that tree from top to bottom, loaded with ornaments and lights. It was gorgeous. And Jeff said, and I never understood why Gentiles then covered the tree with angel hair so you couldn't see a single thing. All in all, it was a fun day from the minute they started planning meals and shopping for food. It was fun cooking all day. It was fun for the cooks to keep an eye on my then husband to be sure he didn't slip Spam into one of the dishes. All that's changed now with divorces and child custody rulings and everything else in the family. Our family Thanksgiving dinners, we now maybe have 9 people, and you never know who's going to show up. But they are just as intimate, just as important, and just as enjoyable as the other ones. Shortly, I'll drive the 250 miles back to Valdosta to be with family and friends for Thanksgiving and gossip. Here's wishing your Thanksgiving is as enjoyable as mine.
Kay Powell, a freelance raconteur and obituary writer based in Atlanta, giving us a little warm-up for the holiday, and reminded that a decade ago, StoryCorps launched the National Day of Listening. That's on the day after Thanksgiving, to share stories, to ask your grandma about meeting your grandpa, or find the story behind a nickname or a scar. Whatever you're curious about, there's a link to a guide for asking and submitting stories. That's at gpbnews.org. On Second Thought is produced by Elena Rivera, Leighton Rowell, and LaRaven Taylor. Alex Word is our engineer, and script editor and acute listener is Don Smith. Amy Kiley is senior producer. Special thanks to Alec Caslow, who mixed our Thanksgiving stories for us today. And you can always submit your own stories. We're on Facebook, on Twitter, at OST Talk, or email us at onsecondthought@gpb.org. I'm Virginia Prescott. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Time to brine the turkey. This is On Second Thought.